when I was doing my last long training run for my half marathon, which is this coming Saturday. I went running on this past Saturday and had a couple hours that I had to run because I'm slow. So a half marathon takes me over 2 hours. So I was doing my 11 plus mile run and I needed a boost when I'd hit a wall. And part of the musical playlist that gave me the boost, in fact, the Backstreet Boys. I used to be a closet BSB fan. Now I'm completely out of the closet and I love the Backstreet Boys. And I say the more BSB, the better. So that's what helped me to get through a particular tough stretch when I thought, what the hell am I doing? Why do I keep signing up for half marathons? That was not my entire weekend. I also went fishing with my husband, spent some time on a boat. It was beautiful out on the lake. It's our first time doing a boat ride together. Although I'll have to tell you this story at some point this week, but producer Pete, we decided since we were fishing, no need to have a boat that goes fast, right? So we, for the first time, tried an electric motor on a boat. I think it might have given us 5 horsepower at full throttle. So you should have seen us puttering across the lake with like having to dodge pontoon boats that were going like 30 miles per hour faster. It was fairly humorous. We enjoyed it, though. We also had fun fishing. So that was the weekend. And then it was back to football. Saturday night, of course, the big college games on into Sunday. Just a lot happening in the NFL. And I know there are about the same number of games every weekend, but early in the season, there's just so much we don't know, which means every game carries major impact, and we hope we'll answer some questions. Of course, if you're a New Orleans Saints fan and you felt like your team was off to a real good start and giving you some hope, and then you watch Sunday, you think, what the heck? Exactly. So it's still the first month. Through the first month, most coaches and players will tell you it's about a month or so before the best teams start to really settle in. But 3-0 is 3-0. You are what your record says you are. This is not the College Football Playoff Committee. I don't represent the committee. I am not a committee. And I'm not telling you who's better than their record, who should be in the playoff, blah, 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 margin of victory, all that jazz. No, I love pro sports for that reason. You are exactly what your record says you are. And we have a handful of teams that have advanced to 3-0. We're asking you on this Monday morning, September 23rd, the first Monday of autumn. I do love autumn. I will not wax poetic on my favorite season of the year, but I have many reasons for it. Who is the most surprising 3-0 team on this Monday morning, September 23rd? Is it the Pittsburgh Steelers, who made the playoffs last year? Is it the Seattle Seahawks, who did not make the playoffs last year? Is it the Minnesota Vikings? Not them either. Or is it the Kansas City Chiefs? Probably not as much the Chiefs, right? I don't see many votes for the Chiefs. We're asking you to answer that question. Both of our social media sites are hopping this morning. At Amy After Hours is where producer Pete posted that question. And also on our Facebook page where, yeah, you're clearly awake and dreaming about football, or you can't sleep because of your football team and what it did to you on Sunday, giving you agita. And there's 2 more games to come on this Monday night. So the Bills could join this group at 3-0. But who is the most surprising 3-0 team? Steelers, Seahawks, Vikings, or Chiefs? Now, I wouldn't expect you to say Kansas City. But what I would like to submit to you, like we're in a courtroom or something, no. What I'd like to point out is that the Chiefs may be undefeated, but they are far from perfect. This is not a perfect team. Not even the Chiefs start out the season ready to win a championship. And I think the last couple years, that's shown us these Chiefs go through a major, they're a work in progress, but they go through a major transformation over the course of the season. And yeah, they're starting out 3-0 for the first time, I think, since 2020, but don't quote me on that. But what we've seen from them are a lot of kinks. What we've seen from them are defensive performances that are still picking up the offense, which was part of their Super Bowl run last year. And what we're seeing is that they have the ability to win close games. And that, I think, is important. It comes from their experience. It comes from the leadership that they have that has been through pretty much everything. This is a fun back and forth game for a while between the Chiefs and the Falcons.
Kelce had been on the sideline. He'll check in. Piron checks in for Steele. Third down and three. Ball is at the 13. It's on the far side right hash. Chiefs will go with trips left. Kelce single man right. Piron the running back to Mahomes right side. Rice in short motion from the left. Here's the snap. Mahomes back. Looks left. Throws left. Caught by Rice. Turns it up across the five. Running inside the pylon. Touchdown Kansas City. First and goal from the one. Cousins a lineup under center. He's got a full house backfield behind him. Robinson and Algier both back there. Single wide receiver left. Here's the snap. Handoff Robinson running left. Gets low. Powering his way toward the goal line. And in. Touchdown Atlanta. Nick Bolton made contact with Bijan Robinson. But Robinson is able to get low and drive his way into the end zone. That's his first rushing touchdown of the year, and the Falcons have taken a 13-7 lead with the extra point try coming up.
It got lively there in the second quarter with these two teams going back and forth. And yeah, the Falcons getting Bijan into the end zone, that's always a positive. So leading 14-13 at the break because Harrison Butker, he's automatic. Another field goal over 50 yards. Actually, I should say he's automatic at field goals, maybe not at extra points. Ryan Radke with the call there on the Westwood One radio network. The Falcons, I felt like they picked up where they left off on Monday night. Remember, they had that game-winning touchdown drive against the Eagles, the real stunner. In the final minute, Drake London catches the go-ahead touchdown. And they had that same fluid in their first couple of drives. And they also pick off Patrick Mahomes in the end zone to cap a 17-play march. And it ends with Mahomes throwing a pick in the end zone. So, yeah, the Falcons were game. They looked good. Now, in the third quarter, seemingly lost their rhythm a little bit. And this is where I felt like that Chiefs defense that still gets underestimated really just made such a huge difference. Able to limit those Falcons at one point, able to pick them off, which leads to a field goal. And even though you don't have the same, at this point, potent offense for the Chiefs, they're leaving a lot of points out there. They are relying on their kicker. And like I said, Harrison Butker, who not only leading the Chiefs in jersey sales right now, but he's someone they're confident in sending out there. But even when their offense is going three and out, like they did on their final two possessions of the game, what you get from the Falcons against that defense is wasted opportunities of their own. And so, yeah, with the Chiefs having the experience of being in close and late and tight situations, they don't panic. They're up for the challenge. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes, who is willing to work with new guys. Whoever they put out there on the field, he's going to turn that guy into a weapon. Well, we saw it with Juju Smith-Schuster. The go-ahead touchdown for the Chiefs comes in that, what is it, it's the third quarter, and it's the first one he's caught from Patrick Mahomes. But I was wondering at the end of this game if we were going to see the Falcons do it again. They did it to the Eagles on Monday night. Were they going to do this at home to the Super Bowl champions? And they had chances. As I say, the Chiefs' final two possessions were three and outs. They were barely on the field for 90 seconds each time and gave the ball right back to the Falcons. And Cousins has an opportunity to replicate what he did 6 days ago. And they get 8 red zone plays in their final two drives. 8 of them. They had plenty of snaps, plenty of shots at the end zone.
The ball right now is in between the 12 and the 13. The marker is right at the 12. Fourth down and a half yard. Robinson and Algier in the game. Split backfield behind Cousins. Cousins goes under center. Cousins takes the snap. Handoff Robinson, sweeping left, hit in the backfield, and he is stopped. Robinson gets knocked down at the 16, and the Chiefs will take over with 51 seconds to go. Kansas City turns away Atlanta on 4.5 yard.
Once again, Ryan Radke and Westwood won 8 red zone plays in the final 2 drives, and they come away with no points. And so the Chiefs, they bend on defense over and over again, and yet in the biggest moments, they do not break. And that speaks volumes about not just the culture, but the situations they've been in now for years. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for Andy Reid, typically he's gushing about Patrick Mahomes and his offense. I mean, in this particular situation, he didn't want the offense to put quite so much pressure on the defense.
We need to do a better job offensively on that last drive and not put the defense in that position. So, we stepped up on the defensive side and did a nice job of holding them out of there.
I feel like I haven't played very well, and that's not a stats thing. I just feel like I'm missing opportunities whenever they're out there and not throwing the ball in the exact spot I want it to be at. So it's about me getting back to my fundamentals, putting our guys in the right position, and then we got to execute at a higher level offensively.
Kirk Cousins didn't have bad numbers. It's just, again, the missed opportunities and the chances that they had late. Those are the ones that haunt you. And for Raheem Morris, he's looking at the 2-for-9 conversions on third down.
We got to go out there and get better. In order to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, you'd like to be able to convert some of those. That would help. That would affect time of possession. That would affect some of the plays they get on our defense. That could also affect the scoreboard.
Raheem Morris and these Atlanta Falcons fall to 1-2. So, yeah, this is weird NFC South, where the Saints and the Buccaneers both end up with their first losses on Sunday. Falcons and Panthers are at 1-2. Saints and Bucks are at 2-1. By the way, if you did not hear Carson Steele talk about his big night. I know he was interviewed on Westwood One. I think he's done some other interviews too. He's not a rookie, but he had to work real hard to get on this roster. And this was a breakout game for him, with Isaiah Pacheco being injured and on IR. Carson Steele got 17 carries for 72 yards, and this was a breakout opportunity for him. But guess what? He had to miss his sister's wedding to be in this game. I don't know that I would miss a sibling's wedding for work. I'm not sure that's in my wheelhouse or that's on my bingo card. But Carson Steele did, and it was kind of funny because I heard both Ryan Radke and Mike Golic talk to him after the game, and he was just saying that they had the TV set up at the reception, but he told them, I don't want it to be a distraction. So if too many people are watching, turn them off. But yeah, he actually had to miss his sister's wedding. But they asked him who had a better night, and he was like, I think me, if I'm being honest. So good for Carson Steele, but also good for his family who was at his sister's wedding. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yes, Chiefs moved to 3-0. And we had a bunch of teams. Now, this was kind of a weekend where you can see the crosses between conferences and some of the divisions that are all slated to play each other this year. We had 3 different games that were, I think, interesting games. Whether quality, I'm not so sure about that. But games that were worth your attention between the AFC South and the NFC North. And the Texans, of course, were trying to move to 3-0, as were the Minnesota Vikings. But this was a rough first half for Houston. And I don't know if you guys remember last Sunday night, the Texans' defense was really the driving force in the second half. So the Texans got the offense early, but then in the second half of that Sunday night game, really there wasn't a ton of offense, and instead they relied on their defense in that situation to limit the Bears and to really force Caleb Williams into some tough situations. Remember, he was black and blue. He got sacked, gosh, was it 8 times, something along those lines. And so it was the Texans defense that was doing the dirty work last Sunday night. Well, here you've got a second consecutive half that's really rough for the Texans offense. They have an interception on the second snap, so C.J. Stroud gets picked off right away. The Texans miss a field goal. They go 3 and out. They have a couple more punts. And in the first half of this game against the Vikings, they're sitting on no points. I mean, this was rough. Against Minnesota, they were getting the same treatment as they gave the Bears a week ago. So, yeah, a scoreless first half on the road in Minneapolis. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold has got weapons and offense for days.
Darnold takes the snap, four-man rush, looking left. Sam, he'll scamper out to the left, eyes into the end zone, throws, touchdown! Darnold to Justin Jefferson! And the Minnesota Vikings take the interception and turn it into six. It's 6-0 Minnesota. Darnold back to pass, shakes the shoulders, dumps to Jones, walks into the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings! That's Aaron Jones' first touchdown wearing the colors. He's showtime!
Paul Allen on the Vikings Radio Network. And dare I say it, against a good team, I mean, the Vikings, are they a good team? They're 3-0. They've shown they can win a variety of ways. Against a good team, you cannot make mistakes like the Texans did in the first half because you will find yourself in a hole. You hear Paul say, after the interception, Justin Jefferson, 6-yard touchdown catch. Then after the missed field goal in a short field, Sam Darnold works with JJ and works with Aaron Jones and throws another touchdown pass. So it's 14-0 Vikings getting into the second half, and Minnesota comes right out of the gate and is able to go another 77 yards, and this time it's Jalen Naylor. So he's passing the ball around. He's using the guys around him. And honestly, they could have been done then, but they were not. CJ Stroud throws another interception, and it's a heavy Aaron Jones drive. You can tell here where they're trying to control the ball now, control the tempo, run time off the clock, and they're able to tack on another touchdown. So Sam Darnold throws for 181 yards, but four touchdowns in this one. Four touchdowns. They go 4 for 5 in the red zone. And I don't know that anybody expected Sam Darnold to be this good out of the gate, but it reminds me a little bit of Brock Purdy. And remember, he played behind Brock last season in San Francisco because he uses the guys that are around him. And this is not a lesson that he learned with the Jets. It's certainly not a lesson that he learned with the Panthers. They might have erased all the lessons. But with the Niners, and now with the Vikings, a more mature Sam Darnold has learned how to use the guys that are around him and not go for broke and try to win a game with one deep, crazy bomb downfield. He looks smarter behind his offensive line, and they're doing a great job in front of him. So CJ Stroud, he's got another tough game. Couple of picks, sacked four times. Houston has 11 penalties in this one. So surprisingly undisciplined for D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, I thought we had some really good looks. We had some good protection early down the road. Brian did a really good job. I think those guys, they got after us pretty good up front. And if we want to be a good football team, you have to win in the trenches. It all starts there.
They did a lot of the things that we thought we were doing. We just, you know, weren't moving quick enough. We weren't executing. We weren't playing hard enough. Just got to be better. I mean, it can be fixed, so it's nothing to hang our heads down about, but, you know, definitely can and will be better.
So I believe that about Ryans and Stroud and the rest of the Texans. It's just running into the Vikings, and you kind of compare the two teams thinking, ha, I wonder what my preseason expectations were. I love the addition of Aaron Jones. It's weird to see him in purple and white instead of the green and gold of Green Bay, but obviously fits right in.
Definitely is different from anything that I've been a part of, and I can't put my finger on what it is that's different because I've been a part of some good teams, but this is a special team. We're going to continue to do what we've been doing, stacking it daily, continue to get better.
Over 100 yards rushing for Jones to go along with the receiving touchdown. So he ends up with about 150 yards and the score. And Kevin O'Connell giving props to the fans there in Minneapolis.
This building was special today. I thought our fans were phenomenal. For budget reasons, we can't give every single one of our fans a game ball, but they certainly deserve it. Really, really appreciate the energy from the jump. 5 false starts by the Texans today.
It does sound like an exorbitant expense in today's economy. Can't give a game ball to every single one of the fans at US Bank Stadium. But man, what a start for the Vikings at 3-0. And if you didn't see who was providing live analysis during this game, I believe it was about the third quarter or so. Don't quote me on that, but JJ McCarthy tweeting, Sam Darnold is good at football. So instant analysis from the rookie QB who will not be able to play this season. Two of your teams moving forward undefeated, the Chiefs and the Vikings, but there are others. Who is the most surprising 3-0 team? Steelers, we talked about earlier in the show, as did we talk about the Seahawks against the Dolphins, but they've been great too when they've had to be. So you can find that question at Amy After Hours or on our Facebook page. Now, we did the first of these matchups between the AFC South and the NFC North, but there were more. The Packers in Nashville and the Bears on the road at Indianapolis. So we'll get to those coming up. And on the back half of the hour, Ravens and Cowboys. It really wasn't that close. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sitting down Green Bay, Willis in the shotgun. Jacobs to his right. Reed in motion to the right side. Oh. And faking the handoff. Willis on a bootleg to the right side. Makes the turn to the end zone. He's in for the touchdown. Malik Willis on a 5-yard touchdown scamper around the right end. And the Packers strike first. From the 31, here's the snap. Quick throw, right side.
Yes!
Intercepted. Down to the sidelines. Jair Alexander. High-stepping. End zone. Touchdown. Jair Alexander. And the Packers lead it 16-7. Holy cow.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one, Wayne Larrivee on Packers Radio. This game in Nashville where Malik Willis finds maybe a slight but sweet vindication against the team that drafted him and gave him his opportunity, but also moved on from him and drafted Will Levis the year after and decided he was
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Bendable trading him to Green Bay before the season began. And it's a good thing because Jordan Love is injured, though he did practice last week. And for now, Malik Willis is starting for Green Bay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It was impressive to see what Willis did. Now, the Packers, in his first start, largely chose to run the ball. They did everything they possibly could to keep him from getting hit, to make sure there wasn't much of a pass rush. They just wanted him to run the ball. But a lot better balance with the offense in this one. And not only does he get an early rushing touchdown, and he has 73 yards on the ground, but he's also able to throw. And they relied on him to throw to the tune of more than 200 yards.
Second down, they fake the handoff to Melton, dumps it off to Wilson, left side. He's barreling his way to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown! And the Packers cash it in. 26-7 Green Bay, 8:25 to go in the third.
What he's been able to do is, I've never seen something like this. So hats off to him. Hats off to everybody around him. Guys rallying, having his back.
I love that. from Matt LaFleur. And so the Packers, of course, they want to win, and it's to their best interest to get Malik Willis as comfortable as possible. They're still running the ball, 188 yards on the ground, though they did have 10 penalties, which hurt them a little bit. But the defense did the rest. Will Levis, I'm telling you, sometimes I swear he closes his eyes and throws the ball as hard as he possibly can. They made life miserable for him. 8 sacks of Will Levis, 3 more takeaways, including the Jair Alexander 35-yard pick six, and that was the first interception return for a touchdown of Alexander's career. The most sacks for Green Bay in a single game since January of 2005, and Will Levis was on the receiving end. And so Tennessee is now 0-3, its worst start since 2009 for Brian Callahan.
Offensively, we allowed too many explosives on defense. We still haven't got a turnover. I think we're probably going to be dead last in the turnover margin by a long shot at this point, and that's going to lose you a lot of football games in the NFL.
Though he did back Will Levis. So he points to the turnover margin, and he's right. You cannot make mistakes like that, especially when you have a brand new head coach, right, and a young quarterback. You're trying to establish something, anything, and instead you're turning the ball over left and right, which once Monday is over, we can look at the turnover stats because they're always fascinating. I'm sure there's competition out there for the Titans. But, yeah, for Brian Callahan, this has got to be frustrating. But he did once again give Will Levis that vote of confidence. Sometimes it's a dreaded vote of confidence, but he did back him publicly, though he reserves the right to chew him out on the sidelines. As for Malik Willis, he says he's grown a lot since he left Nashville.
Every day in order to make use of my next opportunity, which I've been just trying to do this last 2 weeks, and I think more than anything, you just try to continue to work hard and understand that you don't know when the opportunity will come, but you have to be ready for it if you get it.
I like that. And he was online giving praise to God afterwards. He came from Liberty, not a lot of NFL players from Liberty. In fact, I'm not sure I know of another one. He's really a strong young man when it comes to his faith and mentally tough and prepared for what he's gone through early in his career. He's had opportunities. He's gotten benched. It was a rough situation in Nashville anyway, because Ryan Tannehill was kind of on the outs. We'll call him the incumbent, if you will. But he was young and he was raw, and he got thrown into some situations where he wasn't ready. And then to have the Titans trade him, only to have the Packers not only welcome him, but put him in a situation where he can succeed. And that does speak volumes about coaching, does it not? We've seen Sam Darnold first end up in San Francisco and now in Minnesota, where he's gotten great coaching. We're seeing a resurgent Malik Willis. Just the idea that he could step in after being with the Packers for all of a couple of weeks and be able to lead them along with the defense to back-to-back wins. But they had 30 points yesterday. The offense, it had, you take away the 7 for the pick six, and you're still talking about more than 20 points. So a big deal for the Packers to be now at 2-1, along with the Lions, who are also at 2-1, both looking up at the Minnesota Vikings, who are 3-0. And what about those Chicago Bears? Well, you want to talk about miserable on Sunday. It wasn't just Will Levis. It was also Caleb Williams. Rookie quarterbacks giveth and they taketh away. I think he is so smart, and I think there are flashes there. Like, for instance, he throws this deep shot, a perfect connection to Rome Odunze for 47 yards, and then turns around and throws an awful interception. I mean, and it can be like that. This was a great game for Jonathan Taylor. Remember, this time last year, he wasn't even playing yet.
First and 10, Colt to the 29-yard line. They're back to work the line of scrimmage. Right side give to Jonathan Taylor. Breaks it out. He's at the 20, 25, the 10. He's at the 5. Touchdown, Jonathan Taylor. Scoots in from 29 yards out. Taylor started up the middle, then broke it out right and found Pater as he glides into the end zone. Touchdown, Colts. And they draw first blood. It's 6-0. Shotgun snap. They give it to Taylor. Taylor sneaks his way across the goal line. Yes, sir. There it is. Touchdown. Jonathan Taylor. It's now the Colts 20 and the Bears 9 as the confetti falls here at Lucas Oil Stadium.
The confetti. I like that. Confetti for the second Jonathan Taylor touchdown. Matt Taylor with the call there on Colts Radio. And no, I don't think there's any relation. So both of these young quarterbacks, remember, Caleb Williams, he had more starts in college. Anthony Richardson's been in the NFL for a year plus, but only made 4 starts last year. So they're kind of on the same plane in terms of experience in the NFL. Williams, they asked him to do far too much. They asked him to throw 52 times. That is too much. You need to establish the run game, but they had trouble doing that against the Colts. As for the Colts rushing, 150 yards, most of it JT. Richardson also throws a couple of interceptions. But yeah, this Colts defense had Caleb Williams spinning around like a top. He was sacked 4 times. He had 3 turnovers. Just not the type of game that the Bears were hoping for early, but yet he says all the right things, and I do think he's smart, and they can turn it around.
Definitely feeling the loss. It sucks every single time, taking a loss. It never gets easier, never gets better.
For the most part, the guys operated well. I thought the energy was really good. The intensity was good. And this time of year, you always got to work on the basics, the fundamentals, the tackling, the leverage.
The fundamentals, like the tackling. The energy was good. The intensity was good. All that and a bag of chips. But they lose this game, fall to 1-2, while the Colts get off the schneid and earn their first win of the season. As for the Colts and their end of it, remember, they're still working, too, to get used to a young quarterback in Richardson. But his best friend has got to be Jonathan Taylor.
Man, he's a baller. I mean, obviously, y'all know that. He got the ball in his hand and just ran. Our O-line, set it up for him nice. Dialed up some nice run plays for him. But he's a baller. He let it spin out there. He went.
They're hard to come by sometimes in this league. But guys played hard. Defense played their tails off. I think 63 yards on the ground, 3 takeaways. Hell of a job by those guys. But stuff to clean up. But good to get the first one for sure.
First one meaning win. So yes, the Colts are 1-2 as the Texans fall to 2-1. Still nothing for Jacksonville, though the Jaguars play on this Monday night, and the Titans now at 0-3. And I don't know, they might be, if not the worst team in the league, a candidate for worst team in the league. Definitely a bottom feeder right now with no place to go but up. All right, that leaves us with some time on the back end of this hour. If I'm correct, Producer Pete, we have hit every single game.
Yes.
All right, so we'll get back to Ravens and Cowboys because there's a lot of interest in that game. That was the one you chose for the after hours game of the week. And we're asking you, which of the 3-0 teams are most surprising? Is it Steelers? Is it Vikings? Is it the Seahawks? Are you kidding? The Seahawks? Or is it the Chiefs? No, it's definitely not the Chiefs. 855-212-4227 at ALOL Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Good morning to you. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. We kick off with Sunday Night Football in Atlanta.
Third down at 7. They moved it back to the 13. Mahomes in the gun. 2 receivers left, 2 to the right. Piron is the running back to Mahomes' right. Here's the snap. Mahomes back to pass. Mahomes looking. Throws left side. Caught by Smith-Schuster. Turns it up. Diving into the end zone. Touchdown, Chiefs.
Ryan Ratke on Westwood 1. The Chiefs beat the Falcons 22-17. Patrick Mahomes threw for 217 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. Elsewhere on the Week 3 scoreboard, the Rams over the Niners 27-24. Joshua Carty with a 37-yard field goal with 2 seconds to go. Ravens beat the Cowboys 28-25. Panthers 36. Raiders 22. The Seahawks over the Dolphins 24-3, Lions 20, Cardinals 13, the Packers beat the Titans 30-14, Broncos 26, Bucks 7, Steelers over the Chargers 20-10, it was the Giants over the Browns 21-15, Colts 21, Bears 16, Sam Darnold 4 touchdown passes, Vikings over the Texans 34-7, and it was the Eagles over the Saints 15-12. Baseball, the Mets beat the Phillies 2-1. The Red Sox sweep the Twins 8-1 and 9-3. Padres over the White Sox 4-2. For the White Sox, 120th loss of the season, matching the 1962 Mets. Dodgers over the Rockies 6-5. Shohei Ohtani with his 53rd home run. Cardinals 2, Guardians 1, Cubs 5, Nationals nothing. Rangers beat the Mariners 6-5. Yankees over the A's 7-4. Aaron Judge with his 55th home run. Giants 2, Royals nothing. Brewers over the Diamondbacks 10-9. Angels 9, Astros 8. Rays beat the Blue Jays 4-3. Tigers 4, Orioles 3. Braves over the Marlins 5-4. The Pirates beat the Reds 2-0. The Reds fired manager David Bell. WNBA playoffs, Aces over the Storm 78-67. Lynx 102, Mercury 95. The Sun over the Fever 93-69. And the Liberty beat the Dream 83-69. I'm Peter Schwartz.
End to the right. Isaiah Likely, the tight end to the left. The gives to Derrick Henry running right at the middle. He's got a hole. He's to the 15. Henry to the 10. The 5. Touchdown Ravens! The train is rolling and the King scores again!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, the King is back. He is back on the throne. Derrick Henry, 30 years old. He's still got the stiff arm. I saw it against the Cowboys on Sunday. Is he your Monday MVP? His first huge game for the Baltimore Ravens since he joined them in the offseason. 151 yards and 2 scores. And if you did not see this game between Dallas and Baltimore, it was clear. This is not rocket science. It was clear. The Ravens' game plan. Run the ball some more. Oh, and then run the ball some more. And when you're done doing that, run the ball some more. 274 yards rushing by the Ravens in Dallas, where, by the way, the Cowboys have dropped 3 consecutive games. You guys may not know the name Babe Laufenberg. He is the partner to Brad Sham, but also a former Cowboys quarterback himself. They do Cowboys radio together. And this was his post after the game. I am a half full kind of guy. The Cowboys are making progress against the Ravens. Last time they played, Dallas defense gave up 294 rushing yards. Today, 274. We're trending in the right direction here. Oh. And he could say we, of course, because he wore the star. He is a former Cowboy. So yeah, 274 yards rushing. I did have to share that. I quote tweeted it with some emojis that I felt were appropriate for the Dallas Cowboys. Man, what a mess. But for the Ravens, the game plan worked to perfection. This is exactly what John Harbaugh wanted from Lamar and the run game.
Lamar caused a problem for him too, because they had to defend Lamar as well. And you saw Lamar getting out and going the other way. He read all those plays really well. Some of those plays are read, some of them aren't. So this combination right here that's sitting here in this room is a tough one to defend.
14 carries for Lamar, 87 yards and a score. Derrick Henry with a couple of touchdowns. You hear that first one there. Actually, it might have been the second one. With Jerry Sandusky on Ravens radio. So yeah, they were able to do whatever they wanted when it came to the ground game for the most part. Now the Cowboys, they found some rhythm. They were able to convert an onside kick, a couple of touchdowns on either side of it. So I know it looked a lot closer than what it actually was. I mean, I think Baltimore put the nail in the coffin with a 5-play scoring drive that started the third. I mean, the third quarter. They were all run plays, and that was when Derrick Henry did his most damage, was to start that third quarter. They didn't have an answer for him. They didn't have an answer for the run game. And it wasn't until the fourth that Dak Prescott was able to lock in. And yeah, they had the 3 touchdown drives in a row before Baltimore got a pair of first downs to run out the clock. And in a season in which the Cowboys are theoretically all in, it's hard to find positives in a game like this one where you have such a humongous hole to dig out of so early.
It's a game that we've got to go score 30 in. We know it. We didn't do it. Started late. That's the biggest part of it. The penalties, some errors, I guess you can say, just whether it be alignment, whether it be assignment, we've got to be cleaner.
You definitely want to get in front of that team. I mean, that's a
that's a team that plays to their strength and their profile, and you know, aggressive on defense, and you know, got excellent players, excellent coach. But we were not clean enough to get the win today.
Still, though, Derrick Henry. And I don't know if he ends up winning Monday MVP because Andy Dalton made a strong case, but really neat to see Henry in his element in a backfield and with a team that values his skills.
I definitely wanted to come out here and be able to have an impact to give us a chance to win by the way I played. And, you know, I feel like the first 2 weeks, you know, kind of got going a little slow. But like I said, we all tied in together. You know, we all just want to come out here and execute and be able to win. And we did that today.
Good for Derrick Henry. I like it. So if he's your Monday MVP, you can take the poll at Amy After Hours or at A-Law Radio. I still have yet to put it up on Facebook. That's my fault. I'm sorry. Dalton, stable, confident, comfortable, relaxed all week long, and it carried onto the field. The steadiness. Don't look now. But even with two games coming up on Monday night, it's the Panthers who've scored more points than any other team in week number three. The Panthers. Also, just as a side note, before we hear from Andy Dalton following his big performance, 319 yards, no turnovers, 3 touchdowns, a win. Did you know that the Panthers have the same record as the San Francisco 49ers? They have the same record as the Dallas Cowboys. They have the same record as the Baltimore Ravens. Same record as the Cleveland Browns and the Miami Dolphins. Although the Dolphins are dealing with major quarterback issues, but as we've heard from coaches for years, no one else is going to feel sorry for you. You can feel sorry for Tua, of course, because it sucks that he's going through this. But no one is worried about your injury issues or is going to say, oh, we really don't deserve that win because they were so banged up. Yeah, like the Rams were going to say that for the Niners. You don't have your full complement of offensive players. Why don't we take it easy on you? I mean, they're all dealing with their own injuries and just happens to be at different positions sometimes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Bryce Young was not injured. He was benched. Andy Dalton able to get back out there and start for the first time this year.
I feel great. Okay. Obviously, for me to get an opportunity to be out there and for it to go the way it did, couldn't have drawn it up any better.
I like to hear that. He is also a candidate for Monday MVP, and I did hear the phrase Red Rifle dropped on the broadcast. And then that brings us to the Dolphins, also at 1-2, below 500 for the first time under Mike McDaniel. And yeah, this is a stretch where they're going to have to weather it as best they can until Tua, if Tua is available again this season. That in and of itself is a different hurdle. And the fear, I can imagine a lot of people would have putting him back out there on the field. But because Skylar Thompson was gone early in the third quarter with a painful rib injury, he wanted to play. Mike McDaniel and the athletic training staff didn't want him out there. Tim Boyle came in as their quarterback. I mean, he was pulled off the practice squad right after the Tua injury and going on IR because they needed another quarterback on their roster. And they didn't help themselves in a lot of other ways. A lot of penalties. It could be, of course, because they're changing so much. But barely 200 yards of offense, 1 for 12 on third down. And even Mike McDaniel, who seems like eternally positive in many cases, it's hard to find something here.
You know, I thought the positives were it took care of the ball. I did think Skyler did a good job operating the offense.
Skyler Thompson. He was 13 of 19, and then he got hurt. And it's too early to know whether or not he'll be available coming up for week number 4. But Tua definitely is not. I heard Mike Tomlin say, that's ball and life, right? Talking about some of the injuries for the Steelers.
That's ball and life as well.
That's ball and life, baby. That's might be my new favorite phrase. That's ball and life. I'm not sure what part of my life is the ball, but maybe work. That's ball and life.
That's ball and life as well.
When computers from 1982 refused to work. where when someone steals the laptop that's supposed to be here in the studio.
It never happens.
When there's a, what was that major, it affected all the airlines. I forgot what it was called. It was that big Microsoft blackout, but it was another company. Yeah, the whole security thing. When that happens, that's just ball in life, man. All right, take our polls. We'll talk to you tonight, Monday night after a doubleheader. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Boom!